Hey, what's up? It's the Black and Jew podcast, episode 22.
23. Yeah, because yeah. 21 was with Josh and 22, and the file name is 23, so I think it's 23.
Okay,
I'm pretty sure.
Awesome.
We got a special guest today.
Very special guest, the comedian extraordinaire.
Talk about how we hate that term?
We had
a whole section where we were with Irene where we talked about how that's the worst term ever.
It really is the worst term.
But I think you were just saying it in French. You weren't saying it in...
Yeah.
No, it's not fine. We got to rein Reggie in when he starts abusing the guests like this.
The privilege of the person on the Black and Jew podcast.
Check the comedian privilege, all right? Check the male comedian privilege.
Can I say something about your podcast?
What?
I hope Reggie has to suddenly move away for some reason, so you just have to call it the Jew podcast.
I'm just going to find another black guy.
Okay.
There's tons of them. They're just laying around waiting to podcast.
It's so racist.
We're here with Lisa Correa, amazing comedian, wonderful person.
One of the best comedians in South Florida.
Yes. Oh, thanks.
If not the best. I don't want to insult anybody.
But
I don't think anyone that's... any good comedians listen to this podcast, so.
Wow.
Oh, damn. Snap.
Oh, wait, Josh, I'm so sorry. No, Josh is a great comedian.
Josh listens?
Doesn't count. Yeah, Josh is a listener.
You say that, Josh.
Hi, Josh.
Are you saying, like, does he listen? Like, because when I talk to him, he doesn't hear, or just, like, does he listen to the podcast?
I'm just being a dick,
I'm a fan of Josh Silverman.
Josh is the shit.
Fan. We're all, like...
Here on the Black and Jew podcast, we're fans of Josh Silverman.
He's been around forever, and I recently told him this, and it didn't sound like a good compliment, but I was kind of meaning it like a compliment. I'm like, I don't know what's happened to you, Josh, but you used to be so invisible, and now finally, like, you figured out how to be funny. And I was like, that didn't, none of that came out right. I was trying to give him a compliment, and it sounded so horrible, but in reality, I always thought Josh was funny. But I thought other people, like, just ignored him most of the time and didn't give him any credibility. And he's kind of figured out how to break through that now.
Yeah.
I feel like he's killing everywhere.
Yeah, I've always thought he's really funny. He's one of those comics that I don't ever, like, walk out when he's going up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, definitely. Like, every time I want to see him.
But you can because he's so loud.
Yeah, like, exactly. You can stand outside.
You could be outside the door and you can hear Josh and, like, you'll laugh. So.
Yeah. But Josh, there's at least one good comedian that listens to the podcast. So that's Josh Silverman.
So there's one. You have one listener. All right. So we can just call Josh. Just call Josh. Do this.
We could call each one of our listeners one by one, and we wouldn't go over time.
Right.
If we talked to each of them for 10 minutes.
So. Yeah. Just put it on a speakerphone right in the middle.
No, but we talked about you before on the podcast. We shared our awkward meeting you stories.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, yes. The first time we both met you, it was very awkward because when I started out, you know, I would see you at CASA. And I think it was maybe the first time I did CASA. The first time I was doing stand-up and you were on it. And, like, it was very obvious that I think it was you were on the show and Forrest was on the show. And it was obvious that both of you guys are, like, really, really good. And no, this is the second time I did CASA because I already knew Forrest at that point.
I never feel funny at CASA.
Yeah. No,
because I'm always trying, like, brand new ideas. Yeah. And most of the time it's just like, I'm just feeling this out. Yeah. This isn't structured. This is just an idea.
But
I don't feel funny there.
You could tell, though, even if you have a comedian. I mean, your sets usually are horrible at CASA. I'll give you that.
They're terrible.
No, they're not. But
I enjoy them because I know that you're experimenting. But that's more of a comedian thing where you're like, oh, look, she's trying new shit.
Yeah, like, I'm working.
But you could tell when someone's a good comic regardless of what tell when it's a good comic doing new material, you know. So, like, I had a lot of respect for you, and when I have any modicum of respect for anybody in comedy, I get very awkward when I talk to them, because I remember the first time I talked to you, I said some shit. I was like, hey, and I did the worst thing ever you could do is like reference one of the jokes that you made or something like that. I was like, hey, and you're like, you just looked at me like, who the fuck is this guy?
Like
just mumbling.
I was probably trying to figure out if we had met before, because I tend to forget people the first 10 times I meet them.
Yeah.
So
I don't think we did. And like you were like, I said something to you. I don't even know if you heard me or like you have heard me. And you're like, did this guy just say something? Like, maybe it's just another new comic creeping on me. I'm just going to.
Yeah.
And you're like, Forrest, let's go home. We're going home.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's very sweet.
The first time I met you was my very first show at the Miami Improv. And
was I yelling at you?
No, you weren't yelling at me. No, the other times that you've hosted, I've every time you've hosted, I'm like, I better be on point. I don't want Lisa to be mad at me. And I didn't know like who you were exactly, but I knew that you run a tight ship. I but gotta be tight.
Yeah, when I run the open mics,
like everyone's
there,
like bam, bam.
Yeah,
bam.
I'm like, rule. We're sticking to the rules tonight. This is not a loose show. Like,
yeah,
five
not a loose
exact.
Show at all. So, yeah. Yeah, so I would
I
always
off,
make
I come off very bitchy at this.
No, not at all. I was like, I totally get it. This lady, she's doing a good show. So I'd always wait, no matter what. I wouldn't even like go to watch a show. I'd wait like by the little ramp, and I'm like, okay, my turn, go. Because I did not want to make Lisa mad.
That's funny.
And
she's a tyrant. That's her nickname.
My God, that's adorable.
Lisa the tyrant.
So the very first time I met you, you were doing a guest spot, and you were also trying out new stuff, but you also did like your tried and true stuff. And in the same way that like in an anime about fighting, you're like, holy shit, this person's spirit energy is like really high. You could, I was like, oh my gosh, look at this person.
Over 9,000.
Yeah, it's over 9,000. And since then, like the spaghetti has been flowing out of my pockets. even now, like I kind of know you, and you've given me a spot on like the Attack of the Nerd, like
Revenge of the Nerd
comics, Revenge of
the Nerds, SuperCon shows,
at the SuperCon shows, and you know we've spoken, and I've seen you, and you've brought me up to shows that that you do. I still like, oh my gosh, the spaghetti.
Well, don't be afraid, guys. I am not gonna get angry at either of you. And
you
I'm
yelled
here.
At me the first time I really had a conversation with you.
Did I yell?
No, I'm just
I yelled at John Gregory.
No, you didn't.
He's 9 feet tall, and I am 4 foot something.
Yeah.
And I actually did have to yell at him at a Miami Improv open mic.
Really?
Because, again, like, the whole reason when they have someone like me come in and run those, or when they used to because they're closed now, you know, your whole job is to just keep the show very tight, and they always book too many comedians, and you have to just, like, no one can go a minute over, or the whole show is, like, you have to cut someone, and that's the worst. In my position, I have to cut a comic from thing.
Yeah,
especially when they brought a bunch of people there.
And plus, part of my payment of doing it is that I get to do a set somewhere in the middle that can be like a little bit longer. So that's like my payment. So I definitely don't want, you know, people going over time, because then if I lose that set, that's the most depressing thing ever. That I drove down to Miami from Fort Lauderdale, and you know, because
and some tall asshole,
some tall son of a. Okay, so some John Gregory goes over his time. Tall. And I yelled at him. I yelled at him because also he wasn't even on the list that night. And I knew he was funny. So I was like, I'll give you like 4 minutes, but that's it.
Okay.
Because you didn't bring 10 people.
How much over did he go?
I forget. Not a lot.
Yeah.
I was really PMSing, to be honest. So that you... not saying that I shouldn't have been angry, but that throws fuel onto the fire.
Yeah.
And my ovaries were just full of C4 explosives. And there's just this tall, good-looking boy going over his time. After I was like, okay, I'll give you a couple minutes. Just please don't go over your time. And he went over his time. I was like, son of a... And I
you
just
need to check your fucking privilege right now, Mr. Tall, pretty boy. Check your fucking privilege.
John Gregory,
check
the it rosiest the lips in comedy.
Jay Greg.
He
does have the
friend,
rosiest
so
lips
it's
in
not
comedy.
Like we're not friends. Yeah, but I did yell at him that night.
That's pretty funny.
And I apologized to him profusely afterwards. For
I think it's funny. You and Christine have a good way of being stern, but nice at the same time.
I like to think so.
Yeah. Because she's the same way. We're like, she will unleash her fury, but in a way that you can't really argue with, you know? And in a way that, like, you can't write it off. Because, like, sometimes, you know, people will be like, oh, just being a crazy bitch, you know? Like,
yeah.
But so, like, in order to combat that, you got to kind of, like, be calm, you know? So, like, she'll... Like if you hear chew out like an AT&T rep on the phone or something when like the cable keeps going out, like she knows, cause she's a journalist too, you know, so she knows how to like be incredibly stern yet very nice
it's
at the same time.
It's almost like showing your disappointment for that person,
which and is way more cutting.
Yeah, it hurts more.
Yeah,
it's like, look, we were cool, and now you did this.
Oh, that's the worst, man.
It's like that.
Disappointing Christine is very, it's just so saddening. Because, like, sadness is harder to combat than anger, because anger you can come right at, but sad... Like, I remember one night, I could finally start drinking again, you know? And, like, I was out promoting the Casa de Jaja Tonight thing that we did, and I was out at Gramps, and, like, I think Giannis was doing something... He was practicing for his half hour, and I was out, and I was drinking a little bit, not a lot, like, I wasn't getting shit-faced or anything, and I'd forgot, you know, when you drink and you feel good and you're like, oh, I want to stay out even though I'm tired. And it kind of counteracts the effects of it. So it was like 2 in the morning. I hadn't called her yet. Right. And it was, I shouldn't have done it. Like, it was really fucked up on my part. And like, Irene was there. And I remember I called her up. I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. She's like, you know, I'm kind of upset that you didn't call me. It's 2 a.m. Like, I got to go to work tomorrow and I can't really go to sleep unless you're home. Aww. And I told Irene, I'm like, yeah, I feel like Christine wouldn't do something like that. And Irene's like, you're right, because she's not as shitty as a person as you or something like that. She wouldn't fuck up like that. So, like, I felt so bad. But then I just went home and I apologized profusely.
When you're a comedian and you're in a relationship with someone who's not a comedian, I feel like you have to be extra aware of those little niceties to give to your partner, because especially like a woman who's wondering if you're out like flirting with people.
She doesn't worry about that.
Yeah, I know, because you guys are the perfect couple, but I guess I'm saying in general for other people, like, you have to be really aware of that.
Yeah. You got to be sensitive to those sort of things.
You have to be. You should be sensitive in any relationship like that, I'm sure, but I think
in theory, I've heard some people are.
I don't know.
There's a bunch of like comedian podcasts that discuss like being in a relationship and being, you know, a comedian. And a lot of them kind of have the same idea where it's like, oh, you're dating comedy and you're dating this person.
Yeah.
And then those two things are always at end.
True.
And like, you have someone that's very understanding and that's also a creative professional that, you know, has, I'm not trying to say that, you know, sometimes it fails because the other person doesn't have like some outlet like you do, but you know, she knows what it is to put in work towards something.
That's
so
true.
So creatively, you know, she's kind of understanding that.
Yeah.
And then just the nature of comedy itself is not like putting on a puppet show at a library, you know?
Yeah.
Well, sometimes it is. You haven't seen some of the gigs I've done.
Well,
How much does it pay?
It's
so you get 5 minutes of puppet time and you bring up all the other puppeteers.
Yeah.
Make sure they don't go over.
Well, you know, it's not like dating someone who has a job at an office who's going to come home at 5 o'clock and have dinner with you and be home to watch TV with you and go to bed. You know, she's dating someone who's out every night at bars, and there's drinking and there's socializing and there it's different from going to an office.
Yeah.
There's a different kind of worry there.
I'm really lame. So she knows how lame I am. So she doesn't really worry. I think that, you know, that's the only time we've ever really had a problem with that though.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't even because I was out late. It was that I didn't call her. Like the last time I talked to her, the thing is I told her I was going to Elwood's. All right. Which I did to promote, but then afterwards I went to Gramps, and I don't think I told her I went to Gramps.
Mm.
So like, she knows what time Elwood's gets out. So it's like, she expects me home at 12:30. It's like 2 a.m. and it's like, what the fuck are you, like, where are you? It's like, I need to go to work the next day. And I felt like, I apologized profusely, and she was like, yeah, I was like, I fucked up. She's like, yeah, you did fuck up. And then it was over in like a half an hour.
Yeah, so you guys are too cute to actually have a real fight.
No, we know, because we're not like that.
I just had some of your homemade bread, and it makes me just...
I hate you
so much, because it was so delicious.
I'm glad that you admit it, because a lot of people are probably like, no, I like it, but it's okay. Like, there's a little hatred. It's okay. It's a little animosity.
There's hate, and I have a lot of hate in me for lots of things.
You have
a lot of hate for
heart,
a little person.
Hold on to that.
But when I tasted that delicious bread today... I had so much hatred for where my life is right now, and that I don't eat homemade breads pretty much ever. You know, Publix bakery is as close as I get.
Nobody does.
And here, you guys have this adorable, happy relationship. There's one strike against you, okay? Right there, I hate you right there.
He has an all-white house.
Like, he's all-white people live here.
Is that what you mean by an all-white house?
No, I meant the walls, but that's two all-white people live here.
Both, okay. Three strikes now.
We have a pre-desegregation South era house.
Exactly.
Just get out!
But that homemade bread is so just crusty on the outside.
Oh, yeah.
And chewy. I hate it! And you guys... It was so delicious, and you guys are just so happy and make delicious breads all day long and like cuddle.
It's like a physical embodiment.
That's all we do is make bread and cuddle.
It makes me suicidal.
Usually we're on our cell phones next to each other at night. That's what we do. That's what we just browse Facebook.
That's what I'm going to like hold on to.
Yeah, it's like, they don't really connect with each other. But you know, look, it makes you feel better. The two boyfriends before me that Christine dated were sociopaths, so... like, I talked to her mom about it. Like, her mom she came to visit, And you're going to hate me more, but I love her parents too.
Of course you do.
Yeah, they're like the greatest. They're like the greatest people ever. And I was telling you about this early, but I met her grandpa. Well, I know her grandpa, but like we all went out to dinner because her and her grandpa were born on the same day. And my birthday's 2 days after hers. So we all celebrated like a triple birthday.
Like
and I showed him a picture of me dressed like a chonga. Right? You see that? In the back?
I just thought those two hot chicks. I was yeah. like, damn, see? That's nice.
And yeah, I look at him and like he's sexy. Like laughing and then he sees that. He's this old Cuban guy and he goes, no. He's like, no. I'm like, es para un película. Sí, es para un película. Es divertido. Es un película. And he's like, oh, okay. You know, I was trying to say it's for a movie. You know, it's not like I don't usually do this, even though I do it with a frequency higher than most men do.
Right.
Except for maybe Freddie Stebbins.
Like your manliness in his eyes has dropped so significantly.
Yeah.
That he's worried for his granddaughter.
Yeah, exactly. Probably.
Yeah.
But he says he likes my family. Every time I talk to an old Jewish or old Cuban guy, they're always trying to tell me how much they love Jews. So I feel like they're masking some anti-Semitism. I don't know. He's like, no, I love the Jews. Like, I love the Jews. I love the Jews. I don't think they're inferior race. Nothing. But being a Jew,
it's one of my best friends is Jewish. Yeah. I sounded like Jackie Mason when I did that.
One of my best friends is Jewish. He's me.
That's my impression of a Cuban man. It's yeah. Jackie Mason.
It's more accurate than you'd think because being a Jew, dating a Cuban, it's like not because my mom would always say like she doesn't she's not like big she's not like you have to marry a Jewish girl but she's like it's nice to marry someone who has a similar background as you, right? That sounds a little Aryan race. Kind
keep
of thing,
it,
you
keep
know.
It pure,
it's like keep it pure. It's just you know someone with the same background and skin color and beliefs. But no, she was, and it's true though, because you know if you date someone from a radically different culture, that can cause a yeah. clash. Like I've had girlfriends that, like I had this one really waspy girlfriend that was she's a great person. Like she was really really great, but we're horrible for each other, you know, because we're too different. But with Christine, so my mom was like, yeah, date from similar backgrounds, and even though she's Cuban and I'm Jewish. Like, our childhoods sound almost exactly the same. The dynamic between me and my parents is exactly the same between the dynamic between her and her parents. You know, it's really funny how it works out, you know?
This is like a relationship podcast.
It is, isn't it?
There's like all kinds of good tips.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Do you want tips? Never go to bed mad.
My mom also said that, like, she says the same thing. Like, she echoes the same thing where it's like, date someone that's like along your,
yeah.
you know, like, if you went, you know, if you go to school together, you know, like that, yeah. like have similarities. And then she totally flips the script. And then she has just weird stereotypes
oh
about
God,
like,
these are so funny.
About women that are just absurd. Like, if you followed my mom's clues if you followed it to the T, you should probably only date an Asian woman. Like, that's how.
I want to hear, because she has different stereotypes for different South American countries, right?
Yeah, she does. Okay. One, if you date a Cuban chick, like, she just wants to get pregnant. Like, she wants to get pregnant, lock you down, and then that's it. If you date, Oh, and she's married to a Haitian man, and like she told me, don't date a Haitian girl because they'll do voodoo on you.
Oh,
and I'm like, wow, that's kind of racist. And then she's like, no, I know because that's how I married your father because of your grandmother. And then she has one about Honduran women. Like this is the craziest stereotype. Where like, don't date a Honduran because she'll make trouble at your job when she's mad at you.
Wow, that's so specific.
That is so fucking funny.
She told me that she's like, don't date a Honduran. They'll make trouble at your job.
That is so funny.
She'll go to your job
funny,
and yell
dude.
At you.
That is
love
hilarious.
That. Like, Colombian women hoard kittens.
Oh.
It just comes up with random stuff.
It's not even specific enough.
It's
know?
Like a slot machine. Colombian. Hoard. Kittens. The one she has for Colombian is like, if she finds a man with more money, she'll leave you for that man.
Mm.
And then what she says about white women is like, they're all dirty.
Your mom needs to have a website.
That's amazing. I feel like I
want to see the full list of these.
I'm going to probably, you know what? I should probably get it down. Like, she'll be more than happy to like repeat the whole thing.
You should have her on the show and just discuss that.
I feel like your mom could be a... could be a someone like a Fox News correspondent.
She,
you know,
like she probably
like Frankie
could.
Frankie Areola has become
what?
Frankie Areola.
He's on Fox News.
Yeah, he's been like a correspondent on several segments now.
No shit. I had no idea.
Yeah, he's been posting about it. I haven't seen any of it, but...
Is he like on Fox News, like the cable channel?
Yeah.
Holy shit, I had no idea.
Yeah, he did like Fox and Friends, you know, like their morning show.
I didn't know he was conservative.
Weird program. Like Fox and Friends is such a weird program.
I know, my parents watch it all the time.
Oh. Spoiler alert, all the friends are not minorities. Except for maybe one guy to meet quota.
Well, he's the weatherman, and they just real quick shot. That's it.
So on the Black and You relationship podcast, why you should keep it as a strict nuclear family with no homosexuals or minorities.
When you call it the Black and Jew relationship, it sounds specifically like where if one's a Black and one's a Jew in that couple.
No experience with it. You're dating a Jew right now, right?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, look at that.
There you go.
See? Mm-hmm. Only for the podcast, though. They don't get along.
Only for the podcast. If this ever tanks, I'm sorry. Bye. Gonzies. Yeah.
That's the only reason.
I love that with Jews, you can call a Jew a Jew. Because, like, depending on how you inflect your voice.
Excuse me? Who said that? Excuse me?
So add a little bit
where are you getting your guidelines?
A little bit of stank on it also becomes a racial slur.
Right. The same exact word. Like, hey, you're a Jew. Or, ooh, a Jew.
It's like, Jew?
Well, yeah, I mean, Jews. I feel like there's enough really rich Jews that, like, where it's like kind of like making fun of white people. You know? It's like, there's so many Jews in positions of power that it's like you're not... You're like, you can make fun of existing power structures, you know, and it's okay. But like, as soon as you make fun of like someone in like the non-power position, so like Jews are in that like we're a minority, but at the same time, like so many of us are the heads of investment banks. So it's like, really, like, are you gonna offend them that much? Like, I mean, I don't really, Jewish jokes don't bother me like at all.
Yeah, you know? They run Hollywood.
Yeah, I was actually on 4chan the other day, and someone posted a gallery. He was like, an image board. And people post like, you know, they post about random things. And this one guy was like, oh, I went to a Jewish, Orthodox Jewish funeral today. Ask me anything. Like, he showed pictures of the funeral, which was kind of disrespectful, whatever, it's the internet. And someone goes, do they bury him with his pennies?
Oh my God.
I thought that was so funny. Hell, it was probably like a neo-Nazi that asked that question, but I couldn't help but find it hilarious.
I love how great neo-Nazis are with computers. Like,
what?
There's a neo-Nazi in every board ever. Like, there's always like this, you know, they're really good with computers for some reason.
Yeah, they like it. Hate is what makes, like, if you need to learn how to use your iPad, like if you need to learn how to convert a JPEG, just hatred, anti-Semitism, like, hatred.
Yeah, I think they're not good in normal social situations face to face, so they spend a lot of time at the computer.
Yeah, okay, that's why there's so much hatred on the internet.
That's a real good connection.
People that don't, if they could interact with people, they wouldn't be on the internet. They'd be out interacting with people.
It's easy to hate on the internet too. It's like it's the same reason why you hate people while you're driving because it's not face to face.
Disconnected. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's so easy to curse someone out where you might not normally do that face to face to the person.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the same thing with the internet. It's like, it's not human. It's not someone you see. So it's easy to just hate anonymously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
I call those people keyboard gangsters.
Keyboard gangsters.
Keyboard
There's
gangsters.
A lot of them out there.
Mm-hmm.
Internet tough guy is the other term for that.
And it's funny, like, as comedians, when you're criticized on the internet, and you're going to be, how much it hurts. You could have 100, you could have 1,000 compliments. That one hurtful thing that someone has said to you, that's what sticks with you. And it erases all the compliments.
You have a presence. Like, you got credits. Do you get, like, a bunch of shit like that? Like, you get...
I had a video go viral once that was a stand-up bit that was animated. Mm-hmm. And we're going back to MySpace days here because it was a MySpace video that went viral and it had like 500,000 hits in a day. And the comments were mostly all compliments.
Yeah.
But then there'd be that one in there. Like, I remember someone said, the whole comment was just, eh.
that cuts. That hurts, man. That hurts.
That cut deep.
Yeah, that does cut deep. Goodness. Jesus.
I mean, all the like rows and rows of, oh, this is hilarious. And then there was another one I remember that said, female Dane Cook. And I'm like, I can't tell if that's a compliment or not. It depends how they feel about Dane Cook.
Yeah, yeah.
But either way, like, it's that one stuck with me.
Yeah.
That's, I think they meant it as like, what an asshole.
And then you get those comments. Like, I remember we were sitting in my car when we were shooting that Lisa Goes to Art Walk thing, and you were like moderating the like you have that funny picture, a video of you like tickling your parents, and someone left a comment could I get picture of video of Lisa getting tickled, please?
I've had to delete more comments off of that video.
I think that video has like one comment on it now, though.
Because I've deleted so many.
Wow, that's
creepy.
Crazy.
Dudes who have tickle fetishes will comment on there.
Oh my god!
YouTube
is like a haven. Like, they've had to crack down on a lot of like soft fetish videos. Mm-hmm. Like, there used to be this lady that was famous for her long nails on YouTube.
Yeah,
it's just her like in the street clacking on like a steel post.
Oh yeah, clacking, clacking, clacking.
And then there was like this other girl that was really famous for popping balloons. Oh my gosh.
If they could combine their powers, I feel like she could just pop balloons with her nails.
That's super creepy.
You go.
The black or the Jew? Who's gonna talk next?
I was just gonna say that that Jackie Barron told me that after, or I think she has a bit about it. How someone asked if they could pee on her feet after a show.
Yeah.
Oh gosh.
That's weird.
How bold do you have to be? I think it's a threshold like, man, those are real good feet. I think I want to take this chance. I'm going to ask. Chelsea Peretti online, she posted up a picture like of a foot model like on a cruise, right? Like of a foot model, like it was a stock photo of a foot model on a cruise.
Yeah.
And then she just got a bunch of like things on Twitter like, your feet are ugly. Look at those shitty feet. Just a bunch of people just criticizing her feet. And then, you know, she goes on a podcast and she's like, that was a foot model. Like, people just want to hate because of...
It makes them feel better about their own life.
And sometimes it's fun to hate on stuff that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think because we all have hatred inside of us that has to be expressed in some way.
Actually, I don't. I don't know what you're talking about.
This guy makes bread.
Okay, so, like, I hate
like Sunbeam bread, or I hate a Wonder bread, for example. Yeah. I have hatred in my heart for Wonder bread.
But don't you hate a person who's buying that in line at the grocery store? Don't you feel a little hatred towards
them? I'll be honest with you. I'm not saying this to make you look bad, but no, I don't. Because the thing is, I think it's the difference.
Check your bread privilege.
I do have bread privilege. But yeah, I guess you could call me like a aficionado or a geek or whatever. Like, I'm like crazy with coffee, with beer, with bread. Like, I'm really like, I have my very specific likes, and I'm like, I'm very like, I have a high standard for them because I know a lot about them, but I'm not a snob about it because I don't give a shit if people like to drink garbage coffee. Like, that's not like, it doesn't bother me. Like, if someone goes and buys like fucking Wonder Bread, I'm not like, look at this fucking plebeian. I'm just like, oh, okay. Like, you don't want to go through the effort of making this, or then go through the effort of buying it, and I'm cool with it. You know,
such a tolerant human being.
I am.
Well, I'm not so much.
Yeah, yeah.
We all have people just on the side of the road, just like they're just walking on the side of the road for no reason. I'm like, look at that son of a bitch. It makes no sense. Yeah. But I feel like a lot of people hate on little things that don't matter. Like, remember the shoes with the toes that were like, each toe fit into a little slot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know lots of people who just hated those people. Not the shoes. They hated the people who decided to buy those shoes. And I can understand that. Because it's like, I think that stops people from being racist. Because it's like, I gotta hate something.
That's the release valve? That's the release valve?
Yeah, if I can just hate this dude with the weird looking shoes... I'm not gonna hate black people.
Look at those shoes. I don't like those shoes.
Like, it's like different valves in your brain. Yeah. Like the black people valve's really empty, but the one for funny shoes is like totally
That's
full.
That's good that we hate the shoes.
Funneling.
I think a lot of that hatred too stems from, and it's like what you were saying, like in your car, that if you can't get that reaction, that face to face reaction, you just go apeshit. Like, and for some reason I get like filled with rage on the internet sometimes. For the dumbest shit, like on the gardening subreddit on Reddit, okay? Someone posted a picture of a farm grown, a local tomato grown in his garden, and then a store-bought tomato. And the local tomato, all right, looked a lot better than the store-bought one, right? Mm. And some guy goes, you know, unless you're comparing the same exact cultivar from the same exact region, this is fucking useless. And then they did the same. They did the same thing with strawberries,
that's
right?
A very solid point.
They did the same thing with strawberries, and then one guy's like, "This is fucking stupid. That's just the difference between a strawberry that's not ripe and a strawberry that is ripe." And I got angry at not the people that posted the pictures, but the people that commented, right? Because people on the internet don't really give a shit about creating a discussion. They care about being right, whether it's morally right or factually right. So this guy just wanted to swing his like fucking horticultural dick around and be like, well, but it's like, is it useless though? Because everyone knows that fucking local tomatoes are better than tomatoes shipped in. They do taste better, you know? And I'm like, why are you saying it's useless? Just because you want to be right. You want to be better than that person, you know?
I really feel it's because we're evolving too quickly.
Uh-oh.
Because here's the thing. We're so far removed from like having to survive out in nature that we're just like laying around looking at the internet now. Yeah. But we still have all this energy and adrenaline that is made for like fighting a wild beast.
Yeah.
And we since we have that pent up energy, we have to express it somewhere. So it might be on a gardening forum you sit and read, apparently. Wow.
He has time to look at gardening
forums. It made it to the front page, okay?
Holy crap.
I had heard something that like there's systems in place like in human beings to protect us from like, you know, danger and stuff. And a lot of anxiety is due to evolutionary because we have like all these like things we've learned from like being, you know, like, you know, cavemen or whatever. And now we're in the big city and we have all this stimuli that we can't process yet.
Mm. Yeah.
So a lot of our anxiety stems from like not being able to really live in the environment we're in. Mm-hmm. Like there's too much coming in and we have so many systems in place, like in our brains and in our DNA.
So we develop all these weird anxieties and all these odd behaviors. It's kind of like,
cultivating spiders in your car.
Listen, we can talk about that in a second. But I feel like it's like when you have a dog in a small apartment and you never walk it.
Yeah.
It just pees on wee-wee pads. It never goes outside. And then it develops weird habits like licking the window, you know? And you're like, I don't know what's wrong with my dog. You know, you're blaming the dog, but it never gets outside of that little prison that it's in.
Yeah.
So like,
fast forward to me with spiders on my car.
Yeah, I thought, because like I have some spiders in my car, but like I don't know where they're growing from. Maybe from the plant matter that collects.
I have a lot of spiders on
my
car.
But you have like a full blown spider webs on both your side view mirrors.
Yeah, I'm almost now to the point, and I'm afraid of spiders, but I'm almost to the point that I want to see how far it'll go.
Yeah,
just for the heck of it,
tricked out spooky car.
Yeah, like how far can this possibly go?
Hey, it's almost October, you know.
Yeah,
I drive on the highway; they're still intact.
That's
amazing. The webs are still there.
There's the water, the rain, the highway. Like the fact that the webs are still there. That's just that would be an affront to nature's resilience if you were to get rid of the spider webs.
I'm just
kidding. Please get rid of the spider webs, Lisa.
I don't need to worry about offending. That's what a normal person would do, but. I got so much joy the other day when I had to pay way too much for parking on South Beach and there was like a parking attendant. So she came up to the passenger side, which is where the big web is, and I had to put the window down and the look on her face of fear made me so happy that I'm like, I just want to keep this spider.
I'm
it's
the
almost
spider
like
mistress.
It's like I have a superhero car of some kind and spiders, like I can shoot spiders out of it.
You know, it's funny. You have the temperament of like a Buddhist monk and the insides of an evil villain.
I always find myself whenever there's a spider in my bathroom.
The evil laugh. You're like, ah, yes.
So accurate.
I always make deals with spiders. Whenever I see one in the bathtub, I'm like, look, I need to take a shower. I'm going to put this little toilet paper here so that we can climb up because I know you can't like climb on the ceramic. Make a web. Be cool, guy. And then, you know, I leave the toilet paper, come back, it's gone. I like that.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah. Spider bros. Yeah. That's what they call
and
them on the internet.
He stays on the corner, you know, I fist bump him. And it's like, yeah, you caught a fly that day.
And if this was like a cheesy comedy, you'd be like, oh, right, the spider's gone. And then like the camera angle from behind you is like, gets on your back. And we're all laughing at your fear of the
weirdest
spider.
This is the weirdest fucking turn the Black and Jew podcast has ever taken, I think. It's very strange.
So, Lisa, speaking of comedies, I was going to say,
Oh, look at that segue.
Bam. Getting good at that. But now you pointed it out. You are on a Nickelodeon show.
Oh, well, let's talk about my fancy life, guys.
I hope you have a fancy life.
I hope to God that none of your fans are listening to this podcast. I hope to God there's not some 12-year-old girl like getting her dreams of you crushed. It's like, oh, she's so nice. Why does she have spiders? Why does she have such hatred? She has so much hatred in her little tiny heart.
Why is she with a black and Jew guy? I hate him.
Listen,
little girl's racist.
All of my new child fans from this Nickelodeon show are the best fans I've ever had. They're super.
They don't ask you for a tickling video.
They're not creepy in any way. Let's start there.
Yeah.
None of them want to date me. They look at me like I'm 100 years old.
Because on the show, you're probably like 1,000. Because you're a witch.
Who knows? You don't know. I'm like one of the elders.
Speaking of how, just let me, I'm just making a mental note because I want to tell you a funny story about Christine's birthday. But continue. Sorry.
There's a romantic.
No, it's not romantic at all, actually.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'm just saying that the fans are so adorable and that they retweet your stuff. They're super supportive. And if you follow one back, you get a message.
Oh my God.
That's so nice.
You get an all caps message. OMG. I love you so much. A million exclamation points. And you're like, that's adorable. They actually like me, but they can't come to comedy shows yet.
Yeah. Let's hope. I really hope they don't come to your.
But I'm on their favorite show.
You should tell them to go to like, hey, come to Elwood's. It's like, let's go see Lisa at Elwood's. And you're like, do you think women use the fuck their stoma with a dildo?
I have deleted a lot of comments, a lot of my tweets. I've deleted a lot of my tweets because I know that I have new fans that are much younger.
It's part of like your brand now to like, did you have to change your Twitter bio? Now you're not a comedian from South Florida, but you're also on this show.
While the show's running, I want to do that just because I'm trying to bump up my numbers on Twitter. Mm-hmm. But in my bio, it just used to say stand-up comic. So I added the show name on the bio just so people would find the Twitter and add me. So, which is happening. It's only been on a week and I've got a couple hundred more followers.
That's so cool.
They're all 9, but that's fine with me.
I tweeted about you on Every Which Way. I said that you're my favorite little person on TV next to Tyrion Lannister.
Yes, very funny.
and I got a lot of favorites from that.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah. One of your co-stars favorited it too. The older woman.
Yes.
I want to meet the little girl that's 9 that also watches Game of Thrones like God. Yeah. I get that reference.
They do.
They're probably so much more like, they're probably like have way kinkier fetishes than we do at 12.
I bet.
You know, like the shit that they're exposed to.
They're very savvy.
If they have a Tumblr, they totally.
Like if you go on their DeviantArt page, you'd probably be like, oh shit.
The fact that they do Snapchat. As an adult, I don't fully know what Snapchat is. Anytime I hear a new internet social media thing, I'm like, kids are using it to sext each other.
That's why I hang out with Reggie.
And I'm not wrong.
Reggie makes me feel young. Like he knows about these things that I don't know about. Like you probably Snapchat, right, Reggie?
I do.
Yeah, I've never Snapchatted.
I'm so old.
I don't know the verb form of it.
What you do is you take a picture of something, set a time limit to it between 1 and 10 seconds, and you send it to a person. They press it, and they can see your picture or small, like, 4-second video.
Mm-hmm. It's great for nudes.
It's phenomenal for nudes because it disappears afterwards. Right. And if they screen cap it, it tells you. So you can go, I know you screen cap my dick.
There's apps, though, that you can screen cap without informing
them. Oh, yeah,
there
is. There's backdoor apps where you could, like, screen cap, you know, those.
I'm definitely learning all this stuff, too. And I have a daughter also, but also having all these new fans. Like, I learned a new term, ship.
Oh, yes, to ship something.
Okay, yeah, like to ship two people, you're like, in your head, you're putting them in a relationship. So kids will say, I ship so-and-so and so-and-so, and then combine their names. So, like, if I ship Mike and Christina, when I combine the names, maybe I would make Mistine or Kike, perhaps. you know, so I'd be like, oh, it's my favorite couple, Kike. I'm just saying that's how it works. But and I just learned that the other day.
I'm glad you.
Sorry, it worked out that way.
Dude. I can't go back on my word. I already said that I find anti-Semitic humor to be hilarious. So.
It's It kind of is funny.
You could put box me into a hole right here. Right?
See, that's where we like divide, because I don't find black jokes funny at all.
Yeah, because
all of elementary school, all of middle school, all of high school. Hey, you! I got a new black joke. You know, just
especially when it's delivered with the dance. Yes.
like I was saying though, it's like the power structure thing. You know, it's like making a Jew joke is almost like making a white person joke. You know, so it's like making a black joke is not the same, because it's like, oh wait. They still got some like serious problems that need to be addressed in society, but white Jewish people, not so much. Like, how often do you hear people saying like really anti, like I hear people say like really racist stuff, but Jews like, you know, did he get buried with his pennies? Like, that's kind of funny. That's a little absurd. You know, like it's not like there's not as vitriol behind that.
When you said that, I imagine like, you know how they drop the dirt. I just imagine a bunch of clanging on top of a coffin, like brrr.
No, that's not funny.
But the thing
is, we draw the line.
The absurdity of it in that case makes it funny, because if you had an actual hateful person standing here saying that, oh did they burn with the pennies? You'd be like, you'd be upset. Yeah. But looking
I'd
at
be more
it from
uncomfortable
the,
than upset, I think, because they're a fucking hack.
But from the outside, looking at how absurd that is, that's what's hilarious about it.
That's true. That's true.
So back to your show.
So, anyways, you want to hear a good black joke I heard, Reggie?
Yes.
I didn't hear any good ones.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Probably better than all your other jokes.
I used to have a joke.
Oh, shit. Touched a nerve.
I used to have a really hacky joke that I feel like this is when I was new. When it started, I don't feel like it was hacky, but the hackier bits of it became so popular in the joke that those parts grew. It was about Black Santa. Mm-hmm. And I remember like the way I originally wrote it was because I went to Walmart and they had like the 5 foot tall plastic light up Santa for your yard. And they had like a row of white ones, and then they had like 3 black ones that were just the exact same thing, just spray painted black.
Oh my God. There's a little bit of brown on the beard.
Not even. Didn't even go into detail. They're just like, just spray paint these black. And I was like, whoa, are they? I can't figure out if this is not racist or super racist. Black it feels racist. Like it's like having the jockey in your lawn. Like, I don't remember how the joke went, but that's how it started.
Yeah.
And but then adding in some like funny things about, well, what if Santa was black? Well, he does break into your house at night. Like those parts.
I knew
that's
where I knew where it was going.
That's what the joke became, and I hated it. And then I had to stop doing it. And then there's a black fan of mine who requests it all the time. I'm like, dude, it's racist. And he's like, but I'm black. And I want you to do it. I'm not saying anything about the ho-ho-ho.
See that, guys?
I'm not doing that.
Listen, so if there's any young comics listening to this that just started, even Lisa had some hacky jokes that when she started.
We all do. Like I said, its inception was an observation of something that was absurd.
Yeah.
But it turned into the parts that were getting the biggest reaction from the audience. Like, audiences, unfortunately, will reward you for shitty comedy.
Yeah. I get so disappointed when, like, the most retarded part of a joke is what gets the best reaction. I'm like, oh, guys, but the other part's so much better. Like, this one's, ugh.
Yeah, and the big explosion from the audience was when I was like, instead of 8 reindeer, he's got 8 pit bulls. And I get so...
That's pretty funny. I'm going to give you that one, Lisa.
Reggie's like a very reluctant black and Jew bump to that one.
It just like grew into this thing that I hated. I'm like, all the parts that people really laugh hard at are the parts that I hate and that are easy. And the funniest thing to me was just that observation of that it's the same exact plastic mold that someone just came in and was like, let's not be racist. Let's spray paint this one black.
Jesus
I'm like, I can't tell what's racist anymore.
The line is blurred.
There's just like it a really factory thin, pumping thin black these line. Out. And it's like, oh shit, we just forgot the 3 black ones. Just spray paint it, guys. It's been a long day.
Spray paint it. Come on. It's like, yeah.
And then it's just Santa in blackface.
Yeah.
Black that is Santa. Horrible. Blackface Santa, like, oh my God.
Right.
Like the Jim Crow Santa.
And to me, that's the hilarious part, but the people out there, and not to...
That's not what the people want.
And the people don't want that.
The hackiest
people
part
want,
of it.
The people want ho, 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 breaking into your house. Oh, whatever.
God. Santa's like, count them a ho, ho, ho's.
Yeah.
You know, so I remember the thing I was going to... Were you going to say something? This is a horrible podcast, and we really shouldn't do that anymore. Where I'm like, no, you go.
You should have like a card you hold up. you could just with a Jewish star on it? But yeah.
Excuse me. Could you
have one card on the table with a Jewish star on one side?
We should just pass around a talking stick.
I don't know what represents black people on the other side. Just that's going to be something racist on the other side.
Black Santa Claus.
There isn't. What would you say afro. Is
that's
the
our logo.
Symbol?
Our logo is a Jewish star with an afro on top with an afro pick. That's like a radio.
Oh, that's great.
Transmitter. Yeah, yeah. But you know, remember we were talking about something about like your kids thinking that you're ancient.
Yeah.
So Christine the other day, on her birthday, she had to work because she's submitting this. She has to send this thing in for a job application, and she's sitting here in this room, and there's a big window right there, and the blinds are open. So the solicitor comes by, and of course he saw that she was home, so she had to open the fucking door. And it was a guy from Americans for Prosperity, right? And which is that super PAC, you know, that got the judgment that corporations can contribute unlimited funds to political action committees, which I thought I couldn't hate anymore. But this guy comes up and he's like, so what do you think about Obamacare? And she's like, I'm a journalist. I can't answer that. I'm sorry. I can't give your opinion. And he goes, oh, I just want to let you know that you look great for 32. Yeah. And she didn't say anything about it being her birthday. He was just like, yeah, I went through the voter registration records, and I know that you're 32. You look great for 32. Creepy and a very like sexist. I don't appreciate that. Yeah. You know, it's like if I thought I couldn't hate Americans for Prosperity more, but I'm like trying to like you don't tell a 32-year-old. You could tell a 70-year-old or an 80-year-old, but a 32-year-old. And this, she said this guy was young looking, like he looked like 18 or 20.
Yeah.
So my theory was that like, when you're that young, you don't realize how young 32 actually is.
Yeah.
You know?
It really seems old. It seems super old. And him saying you look great for 32 is also saying that 32-year-olds are gross.
Yeah, exactly.
Essentially.
Just layers upon layers of that. And you know he wouldn't say that to a man either. There's no way. You know, tell, like, how fucking creepy is that?
That's why I don't even answer the front door ever.
Yeah, I
even
stopped.
Even if they know I'm home.
She just flipped him off. Like, no, I'm not opening.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't do it.
That made me so...
I'm glad I live in a neighborhood that's rough. So no one's canvassing by my neighborhood.
Keep telling yourself that, Reggie. I'm so glad I live in that bad neighborhood. So people don't knock on my door. No, I never answer my front door because it's never going to be anything that I want.
Yeah.
In any way. It ranges from here's a pamphlet to home invasion and anything in between. I don't
usually
want
home
any
invasion
of it.
Start like this conversation right now, actually.
Exactly.
Fun for you to know. Yeah, I had some guy come up. And what were they doing? Yeah, every time they try to sell me something or try to get a donation, they have this strategy. They're like, wow, your neighbors have been great, have been donating a lot of money. Like, do you want to do it? Like, I feel like I'm a shitty person if I don't donate. I'm like, and I hear that pitch every time.
That's a good pitch.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm just like, no. And this one guy was like really awkward. He's like, oh, you like this? I like that too. Give me a fist bump. And he like fist bumped me. I'm like, oh, go away. Ew, you're the worst.
I feel guilty every time I turn down anything where I have to give money.
Yeah.
Like even down to paying for groceries at Publix. Would you like to give a dollar to diabetes today? And I'm just like, no. No, but then I feel guilty.
I understand what you mean, but I'm like, screw you. You guys take it out of your profit margins. Yeah. Right? Mine are really low. It's like, I even feel that way sometimes at a strip club. Like if a stripper's like, hey, you want a lap dance? It's like such an uncomfortable situation. Like I was shooting something. I was talking to one of the people helping us out, and we were sitting in the car while they were shooting another scene. And I was telling her, I'm like, you know, 90% of the time being in a strip club is just being very uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And like, you're like, no, it's like an aggressive car salesman. Like, come on, baby. It's like, I really just want to sit here with my friends. Like, don't, please. You smell very bad perfume. You got at Navarro. Yeah. Like, please go away. Yeah.
Yeah.
Even then,
guy.
I feel bad though. You
I
know?
Mean, there definitely are strip club guys that just do love it.
What, when the girls go up to them?
Just love the whole thing and they're not uncomfortable, you know?
Strip clubs are a lot more depressing than you would think.
They're so depressing. Well, you know, my ex designed strip clubs.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah
that's
yeah.
one of my favorite jokes.
Oh, yeah. And it's true. You know, that's his whole livelihood, basically. You know, it's hard being an architect now with your own business. And that's his business. That's where he gets all the money from these strip clubs.
What goes on? What is so specific about design? A strip club's not a church where there's like, you know, there's like a specific architecture for church.
Yeah. There's nothing artistic about it. Let's start there. You know,
like I wanted to be a box.
Yeah,
and he's like,
you know,
make sure there's enough power supply for the neon.
Those kids who dream about one day being an architect because they want to design this piece of art. There's nothing to do with that. It's more like putting an addition on your home where you just need to have a rectangle on the back of your house. Like, there's nothing exciting to it. It's just it's necessary to have blueprints and an official person do renovations and build new ones and whatever else.
Yeah, yeah. And someone's got to design that.
Yeah, and he's right now he's flying to Detroit to design some more for the booby trap chain.
Wow.
Tons of money there.
No shit.
Oh, shit,
yeah.
Dude.
That's a, yeah.
Pole placement. I mean,
the pole's important because that could fall.
The whole roof comes down.
It could
down.
Take down the whole roof if you don't really.
Like if she's gyrating and like, you know, it's a real hot night.
Especially if there's BBW strippers, you know?
Yeah. I call them load bearing stripper poles, the ones that are really holding up the ceiling.
Yeah. What the fuck was I going to say? I wanted to tell you, by the way, that that fucking Every Which Way theme song is stuck in my head. And
Every
it
Which
go.
Way, it's designed it's like to be like
Every
crack.
Which Way, Every Which Way, Yeah, do you want to hear something weird? I apologize in advance to Christine, but I was having sex and that song like popped into my head. I'm like, oh, God damn it. This is a horror. Like, get away. I hate this
so much.
But it helps
to keep your rhythm, right?
Oh, I can see how that would work, though.
Yeah.
No, it was just...
Positions?
No. I was not using... I was not utilizing it for anything except for me to be very annoyed. And I'm like, motherfucker. Things I do to support
my
friends.
Well, that's a great story.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You should tweet that and hashtag.
Yeah, I'll tweet it. Yeah, tweet it at you, hashtag all your little fans. We'll get a little dose of reality.
And they just, starting yesterday, it became global. They started playing it in the UK and in Brazil, Argentina. I'm not sure where else. I know it's going to be in the Netherlands soon.
You're like the Nickelodeon version. You're like Australia. You're like a little Krusty the Clown. If they only knew. The hatred she had for people walking on the street.
They have no idea, but they kind of knew because they put me on their Nick Mom show where I did stand up, and I am the only person to have ever said the word swastika on a Nickelodeon network.
Wow.
Yes.
Cool. You made history.
Thank you. And the producer of the show had to fight the network for it because they definitely had a conversation about it.
Yeah, of course.
They were going to cut out that joke and they were like, wait a second. It's a good joke. She's not saying anything negative. She does say the word swastika true right after like kids were just watching Dora the Explorer.
Yeah. They need to know.
All, what's it called? All like mass comm majors are going to read about you. They're like, oh shit.
First person, that's a groundbreaking thing.
Going down in history.
You should put that on your credits. Like every time you perform in a club, it's like the first person to say swastika on any Disney channel.
There
Give
you
it up
go.
For Lisa Correo.
They get a little spicy here and there. They try, but you know.
How long were you doing stand up but when that thing premiered?
The Nick Mom show?
Yeah.
I think 7 years.
Oh, okay.
About approximately.
That makes me feel better. I felt
I'm just over 9 years now.
I felt like for some reason I had in my head that you did that immediately, like very soon in your career, and I'm like, fuck,
you
were so good.
You look
so
good
soon.
For a 9 year comic.
Yeah, you look good. You're fun. You're like really funny for a 9 year comic.
I can't believe it's that long already. It seems like it's weird because like, I remember the first 2 years I felt like, oh, I hate telling people how long I've been doing comedy because it sounds like nothing. And then all of a sudden now it's 9 years and it sounds like too long.
I like doing it. I like saying it because I like the reaction I get. Some people are like, you've only been doing it for that long. And I'm like, I like getting that reaction. It makes me feel good.
Yeah.
And then once I get to 5 years, it'll be like, oh, okay, we expect it.
Yeah, it's like, well... And you haven't been on a late night talk show
yet? Exactly.
Now that's where I'm at. I haven't been on that.
I've been on Nick Mom.
I mean, you're making moves. I mean,
I'm trying, you know, slowly. You just have to constantly work at it. And I still feel like I still don't feel funny. Like sometimes I feel funny. But you are though. I look at my jokes and I hate them all half the time. And I feel like I want to just throw them all away and start over.
Well, the self-hatred is what makes you not a hack. Because hacks love themselves and love everything they say. And they think it's so hilarious and original and creative.
I have that same thing, too. That's true. Look at these bits and I'm like, what is this notebook full of?
I think I'm a genius. I don't know what you guys.
And then some of my jokes that I really love, I'm like, oh yeah, I am so funny. And then you go to try it out and it doesn't work.
And then you're like, hey, black people, if they were Santa Claus, we'd be out of presents, right? And then everyone's like, yes, I love it.
I have dropped some of my hardest hitting bits.
Yeah.
My really killer bits because I just didn't think it was a clever joke.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they got the biggest reaction.
It would be great if I had enough
material. That's such a hard thing to like have where like, you know, you go up into stand up and you want to do what you think is funny, but you have to struggle with like what they think
people
is funny.
People actually think is funny.
Like, you know, and Ron, when I met Ron Funches at the Friends of Nature Festival, I spoke to him because I love Ron Funches.
Yeah.
He's amazing. And he told me, just do what you think is funny and then the people will come.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
he's also saying that being living in California.
Yeah.
Like, does he live in San Francisco, I think?
I have no idea.
I know he was part of the San Francisco scene, which when you're in Florida, it's a different story. Yeah. Like, in reality, you can't go up and bomb always. You can't, because you'll never continue.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You have to get some kind of feedback.
You're saying in Florida?
In Florida, and in a lot of places in the country, you're not always rewarded for the most clever, like doing it the right way. Yeah. So I mean, if you try out a bit 3, 4 times, 5 times, and it still gets nothing, like you have to change stuff up a little bit, or find places to perform that have better audiences. Like Miami's better than the rest of Florida, quite honestly. It's the best place in Florida.
Yeah, you know, and it's like, I think that's why Josh Silverman, it took a while for him to get traction, because like his shit's like clever. You know, it's not like just easy hacky bullshit.
Yeah.
Like he has social commentary and stuff, as opposed to just like, hey.
But I feel like there was a tipping point with Josh and with a lot of comics where he was doing his own thing for long enough. And there was a tipping point of, you know what? I've been hurt enough in comedy.
Yeah.
I hate you people.
Yeah.
I'm going to just say this. And there's a different kind of confidence that he has now.
Yeah.
That he didn't have before.
Gotcha.
So there is a change that has happened in him. Whereas before he's like, oh, maybe you guys think this is funny. I kind of do, kind of an attitude. Now it's just like, whatever, I'm going to say this. And I don't care about anything anymore.
I always liken doing comedy to try to sleep with someone. Because if you have that approval seeking behavior, you're never going to get laid.
Right.
You know, it's like with an audience, if you're like, please think I'm funny. Like, please, like, is this okay? No one's going to laugh. But like, if you're like, I'm doing my thing, it's funny. Fuck you people.
Yeah.
It'll make you laugh.
I hate it when like the crowd shushes for you. Like, shh. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Oh, that's
so
the worst.
Yeah. So
like, this comedian is trying really hard.
You just want to cry there.
Yeah.
You really do.
But you're really, I remember I saw you at Elwood's recently and I'm like, I'm just like, I was watching you. I'm like, fuck my life. I'm like, all my really, like, I'm like, my best bits are just as funny, are less funny than this bullshit she's trying out that she doesn't, she hates. Like, just like scribbled on your notebook and you're just like, meh. And I'm like, my best bits hit like that. Like, fucking goddamn it.
Yeah.
I don't know. One of the fun parts for me is trying out new stuff all the time.
Yeah.
And I can't understand comedians who go up with the same. Comedians who've been doing the same 5 minutes since I started.
Yeah.
And they still go to all the open mics. The same jokes.
Jesus.
And I'm like, what is in it for you? Like, and they'll hit, the jokes will hit. So they've got this comfort level.
Maybe they're just hobbyists, you know, and they just don't really give a shit about making
it. And they like that reaction from the audience that they get. And they thrive on that more than the act of like trying something else.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I get you. That's like that whole like golden 5 minutes is that old, like, what's this Letterman show mentality where like, just get your 5 minutes, kid. That Carson mentality.
Yeah,
yeah. Just need those 5 minutes and bam, you're set for Easy Street. Variety shows as far as you can see.
Right.
You know? And there was this guy who, sorry, I'll finish up real quick.
I was the one who interrupted.
There was this guy at the
Miami
Improv.
Apologize for interrupting my interruption.
Who did the same 5 minutes since I first started.
Wow.
And I saw him go every month, always had the people, every month did the same 5 minutes. And I started talking to him, was like, where else are you going? Places, you know. And it's so crazy to me that you don't want to do new stuff.
But then when they get that 5 to 7 minute set so polished that they can enter like a comedy contest and do great in it because like the judges have never seen them at all the open mics do the same set. You're just furious about it.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like there is a lot of merit to polishing your five. I have a problem with it because I have such a back catalog of jokes.
Yeah.
That I'm trying to get through.
You still have to polish your jokes. That's the thing.
No, I do. What I've been trying to do is, because at first it's like weird. It's like, I'm not going on the road. Like, what am I doing this for, you know? But what I've been trying to do now is like trying to get like really polished 5-minute chunks and like mm-hmm. like taking this in, putting this out, shortening this, you know, mm-hmm. whatever. And then so like I have these 5-minute chunks on specific subjects, and then it's like once I have that, I like kind of put it on the shelf, mm-hmm. you know. So like I've been doing like recently, I've been doing this one set I have about civil rights and Facebook, and like I've been just trying to polish it, like do it a million times and then polish it and then be like, all right, this is good. And then like, cause I don't know, it's weird because I don't really, I haven't been writing that many like new, completely new concepts because I have so much shit in a back catalog that I'm like, I feel like I should polish it, you know?
Yeah. I feel the same way. Half the time I'm going through just old notes. Yeah, I have so many notebooks full of just odd disconnected ideas.
Same here. Yeah. Yeah, no, definitely. Like I want to, like I'm in a point where I have a lot of like, I have a backlog of stuff and I need to organize myself. Like I have a five I'll always go to. Yeah. And then I have like this very lucid five that I'm like, let's see, let's play this by ear.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, I have these notebooks and you know, I look at them and they're all like, it's all over the place.
Yeah.
And then there's some jokes that reoccur in every notebook that I'm like, maybe I should finally get to this.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just to get to that point where I'm just, you know, okay, now everything is set.
Sometimes it's just figuring out how to say it. And sometimes you have to put it away for a while and kind of forget how you initially thought of it and see it in a new light later.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's another thing. That's something that happened to me. I used to have this, what was it? I used to have a bunch of bits that were about an ex-girlfriend. And then now that I have I'm in a new relationship, I have two ways to look at this bit now. Yeah. This can be an ex-girlfriend bit, or I can just carry it over to this new, just this new girl.
Yeah.
It's like, sorry, babe, I'm going to give you some old jokes on you.
I always do that. I always have like, I have jokes that are quote unquote about my girlfriend, and like people will look and be like, oh my God, but she seems so nice. I'm like, this is not about my girlfriend now. Like, don't worry.
Yeah.
I had the joke about like sleeping with a punk rock chick at a party. And Cotto Nino's girlfriend looks over and is like, but how is it? Like, he's fucking this girl, but his girlfriend's right there. Like,
yeah.
It's like, he's not actually fucking her. Like, don't worry about it. You know, so we got, Nelly wrote in, and I feel like we should read what she wrote.
Oh, what'd she write?
She wrote, I don't have it in front of me, but essentially what she said was, oh, here it is. It's right here. It's just on Twitter. She says, listening now, move to New York, Josh. She's telling Josh Silverman, we're talking about this, about moving to New York, when Josh was on the podcast, and she was saying that he needs to move to New York.
Yeah.
You're making a transition to New York, or...
Well, you know what? I'm in transition with my transition.
Oh, okay.
So my plan...
Don't know what my transition is.
Yeah,
my
plan was to, by like next week, have a place in New York and be there half the time and here half the time.
Okay.
Yeah. And basically live in both places and be going back and forth like every 2 weeks. So not really leaving Florida, but just also performing in New York.
Yeah.
And now with like the stuff that I've been shooting, I had to put that off for a little bit.
So Irene's there all by herself.
I know.
You abandoned her.
Well, I had to kind of abandon Irene because we were going to get a place together, but there was no way I could sign a lease and then have to come back here for 3 months to shoot a show, you know, and then leave her with a stranger as a roommate
or,
you know, like some weird person who's suddenly in her life instead of her buddy. Mm-hmm. So right now, like, she's getting a place with another comedian. So I know that she'll be like in a good place. She found like a great deal on rent.
I feel like you and Irene, I feel like in comedy, you're like my comedy sisters, right? You're the wise older sister and Irene's the sister that's my age that I bicker with constantly.
Yeah, there you go. We're your sisters. Yeah. So I don't know what's happening with me at the moment. I'm just right now doing gigs here. And until that stops, like, I want to be in New York as much as possible.
Yeah.
Now I'm even looking at, though, maybe doing LA instead now that I'm not moving with Irene.
Yeah.
Because with all the acting stuff that's popping up, and I don't know.
And Forrest is there, too.
Forrest is out there. Yeah.
I mean, that's probably an incentive,
it's
right?
Kind of a factor.
To move with your boyfriend?
He's out there. He's far, far away.
You guys are the cutest couple. Far the way he calls you fuckface is just
skank.
Adorable.
He'll just will be shopping and he'll go, hey, skank, and heads will turn. He just looks like an abusive person, which he is.
I always do stuff like that with Christine, but like, she doesn't understand that, like, I'll call someone an asshole out of a term of endearment, you know?
Yeah.
So like, when we start off a relationship, I'm like, listen, asshole. She's like, Why'd you call me an asshole? That's like, what the fuck? And I'm like, no, it's a term of endearment. Like, I call my friends asshole. I call people that I love asshole. And like, I had to explain it to her. And I'm like, look, let's try to, you know, you insult me. She's come up with an insult for me. She's like, I can't do it. And I'm like, just do it. And she's like, you're a creepy little fuck.
Ouch.
That's how sweet she is. You can't come up with an insult.
Creepy little fuck.
Yeah.
Oh, just wait. You guys are still a new relationship. Yeah, I know.
You still
know.
Make bread. Don't
I'm sure maybe bread. When like when the big issues come up, you know.
Yeah, but, at some point.
I don't know though. We're so fucking agreeable. Like we don't have any.
Oh, stop it.
Well, she's.
I hate how happy you are.
It's horrible. It's kind of arrogant to call myself agreeable.
No,
but we do.
Are awesome.
Like our temperaments are just so like. We don't, like,
here's
we don't,
something fun to do though, yeah. Seriously. Next Fight. Time you're in a public place,
yeah.
Just like quickly grab her arm, like you're yeah. pulling her towards you and just like I yeah. told you to stay closer to me. You know, just like reprimand her in some way and just look at the faces.
That's great.
I yeah,
do
it's
that.
Really fun to see like how people react to that.
I'm gonna do it. Mm-hmm. That's great. I'm not gonna tell her though that I'm doing it. So
even better.
It'll come out of the blue.
Yeah.
Let's just all right, so I'm gonna have to do this soon before she listens to this podcast.
And she just breaks down and cries in the middle of
Remember, our happy relationship is due to both of us having cancer. So if you knew what it takes to get to this point, you'd be like, nah, I'm cool with like a semi happy relationship. Yeah. I remember once I was talking to you and like you were saying like you had anxiety about something and I'm like, you're like, so what, like, you don't seem anxious. Like, what do you do? I'm like, well, honestly, I just, after I got cancer, I stopped getting anxious about things. You're like, this is the worst advice anyone's ever given to anybody, Mike.
Yeah, great
just,
advice. Thank
yeah,
you.
Just get cancer. Thank you.
I'll work on that immediately. Start smoking.
Exactly. All right. So let's wrap it up.
Yeah.
Let's do it. All right. Okay. So Lisa, you've been a wonderful guest. I'm so happy you came
for
on.
Having
I'm
me.
So happy you came on the podcast.
So
it was great. And you're on Every Which Way.
I appreciate it. Every Which Way is on every weeknight on Nickelodeon at 7:30.
Oh, that's great.
So for our listeners that aren't nine,
check it out.
There you go.
And imagine her being tickled.
And where can the people find you, Lisa?
Oh, they could find me on Twitter at Lisa Correo, Corrao.
Cool. And they can find me, Mike Marianoff, on Twitter. And Mike Marianoff Comedy on Facebook and Reggie, Ratchet _ Reggie.
Yep, on Twitter.
And Black Dadaist on
Instagram.
I'm using my Jew privilege to talk about, give your Twitter handle. Do you have any shows coming up?
Who, me?
Yeah.
yeah, you know, just stuff around town. Nothing
stuff
exciting.
Around town. All right.
We got a
You'll
show.
See me.
You're
yeah,
hosting.
I'm hosting Gramps at Gramps.
There you go.
On Thursday.
I'm performing at Gramps on Thursday.
And also on July
30th. I'm going to try to get a guest set at Gramps on Thursday.
All right. Let's hopefully we'll see you there.
All right. Yeah. Check us out on Gramps.
Reskin will be there too. And then on the 30th, I'll be at the Tavolino's in Coral Springs doing that show, the Wise Guys comedy show. So
there you go.
Until next time, guys.
See you.